We rejoice tonight because the Savior of the world, our Savior, is born. Are we happy tonight? Are we happy tonight? If you're happy tonight, I want you to clap for baby Jesus. Amen. That is a little bit too weak for baby Jesus. We need to clap stronger, okay? Let's clap for baby Jesus. Woo! Woo! The Savior of the world, our Savior, Jesus Christ, is born. Tonight is a special night. It's not like every other night. As I reminded you throughout the season of Advent, when we celebrate Christmas, we are not just celebrating something that happened 2,000 years ago, but we truly believe that our Savior, Jesus Christ, is born. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, comes into our lives. And that's what we celebrate tonight. And that's why we rejoice tonight, because tonight is a very special night. Throughout the season of Advent, I preach on the different miracles of Christmas. I preach on the miracle of hope on the first Sunday of Advent, because Jesus Christ is the reason for our hope. Because Jesus Christ inaugurates a season of hope so that those who are hopeless can now have cause to hope, because Jesus Christ is the reason of our hope. In the second Sunday of Advent, I preached on the miracle of peace, because Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, and Jesus Christ brings peace to the world. In the third Sunday of Advent, I preach on the miracle of joy, because Jesus Christ brings joy to the world. In His presence, there is fullness of joy. Even the baby John the Baptist in the womb of Elizabeth recognizes that Jesus Christ brings the fullness of joy. And we are told that the baby John the Baptist leapt for joy in the womb of his mother, Elizabeth. The first Sunday of Advent, I preach on the miracle of love. Jesus Christ brings love to the world. He is a gift of the Father to us. Jesus Christ, God, became man. That's the greatest act of love anyone can perform. God becoming one like us. So we rejoice tonight because we have received the greatest gift. Jesus Christ has entered into our world. Jesus Christ has entered into our lives. Jesus Christ has become one like us. I know some of you are waiting patiently for your miracles, the miracle of hope, the miracle of peace, the miracle of joy, the miracle of love. And tomorrow morning you might wake up and say, baby Jesus was born, but I don't see any change in my life. I'm not a hopeful person. I'm not a peaceful person. I'm not a joyful person. I'm not a loving person. I didn't see that miracle being worked in my life. And what happens? You enter into this state of despair. You begin to doubt all you heard during the season of Advent. You begin to say, well, Father Baker sold us this false hope. He promised us that we're going to receive all these miracles, and we didn't get them. And you begin to doubt. I want to assure you, just hold on. It's okay that you are beginning to have those doubts, but don't hold on to them for too long, because God is up to something in your life, if you let Him. He's up to something in your life. The place where you are, the people of Israel were many years ago. The third Sunday of Advent, when I preached on the miracle of joy, I told you about the prophet Isaiah's prophecy. He tells the people of Israel who are in exile in Babylon, rejoice, rejoice, because your Savior is coming. He's going to lead you through the desert back to Jerusalem. Your journey back to Jerusalem is going to be through a well-watered highway. And the capital city will be rebuilt. The temple of the Lord will be rebuilt. That was the promise of the prophecy of Isaiah to the people of Israel. And he told them, rejoice, rejoice. In today's first reading, the people of Israel are back in Jerusalem. They're back in Jerusalem. They've returned from Babylon. But what did they find out in Jerusalem? They didn't find a rebuilt city. They didn't find a temple. And they are beginning to think that those promises were false promises. The people of Israel are beginning to think that the prophet has sold them false hope. And they are sinking back into a state of hopelessness. They are despair. In today's first reading, the prophet says to them, for the sake of Zion, I will not be silent. For the sake of Jerusalem, I will not be quiet. I am going to keep praying until the vindication of Jerusalem comes through. I'm going to keep praying until the righteousness of God comes through in Jerusalem. And to make matters worse, the Gentiles and their neighbors are beginning to laugh at them. They're beginning to call the people of Israel forsaken, abandoned. Your land is desolate. That God whom you trust in, that you've put all your hope in, has abandoned you. Where is he? The city is not rebuilt. The temple is not there. Where is that God? They are laughing at the people of Israel. And they are entering into a state of hopelessness. But the prophet says, I will not be silent. I will not be silent. I will continue to pray and I will prophesy until you, the people of Israel, receive your victory. Your victory will shine like a burning torch. That's our victory. I'm sure you might look at your life tonight and you will say, I am forsaken, I am desolate, I am abandoned. God, where are you? God, where are you? And maybe your friends and your neighbors who do not believe in God might laugh at you. What has that God given you, whom you trust so much, whom you go to church every Sunday? What has he given you? They will laugh at you. But I want to assure you tonight that God has not abandoned you. God has not forsaken you. The proof for that is the birth of Jesus Christ. The birth of Jesus Christ is a proof that God has not abandoned us. The birth of Jesus Christ confers upon us a new status. No longer the abandoned. No longer desolate, no longer the forsaken, but we are now God's delight. Those are not my words. We are God's delight. Do you believe that you are God's delight? Do you? Do you believe that you are God's delight? I want to hear you. Do you? Yes, we are God's delight. If you believe that you are God's delight, say to yourself right now, I am God's delight. I am God's delight. We are very special people. We are very special. We are not forsaken by our God. He sent Jesus Christ to us. God became man because of us, because we are God's delight. Even when we sin, even when we abandon him, he doesn't forsake us. God has not forgotten us. We are not an afterthought to God. We are very precious in his eyes. And sometimes we don't realize that. We don't know how precious and how special we are to God. We are so special that He allowed His only Son, Jesus Christ, to come into this world and to be like us. That's how special we are. Each one of us is very special. And what I want you to do now is to say to the person sitting beside you, you are very special. Say to the person sitting beside you, you are very special. Amen. We are all very special. We are all very special. That's why God came into this world, to be like one of us. It even gets better. Jesus Christ was not forced to enter into this world. He doesn't see us as a burden. Sometimes we think that maybe we are a burden to Jesus Christ, but we are not. We are very special to Him. We are a delight to Him. So that in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 24, Jesus Christ praises the Father. He thanks the Father. Father, they are a gift to me, referring to each one of us. Each one of us is a gift of the Father to Jesus Christ. He praises the Father because we are a gift to Him. And it doesn't end there. He goes on to say, I wish that wherever I may be, there also may be. So we are not a burden to Him. He wants us to always be with Him. He wants to always be with us. None of us is a burden to Jesus Christ. Each one of us is special, so special to Him. He wants to always be where we are. He wants to always be with us. And then today's first reading tells us that we are a royal diadem in the hands of God. We are like His glorious crown. That's how special we are to God. Very special people. We are God's delight. And then there's a whole imagery of marriage, that God, our builder, is going to be married to us. He's going to be married to us. That is the marriage of the Lamb with us. Jesus Christ is married to us. And He rejoices because we are married to Him. He doesn't do it out of obligation. He doesn't feel compelled to be married to us. He actually rejoices because we are married to Him. That great covenant of love. Whenever we gather to celebrate the Eucharist, we are renewing those marital vows with God. Jesus Christ is entering into our lives in a very special way. The words of the Eucharist, during the Eucharistic prayer, Jesus Christ offers Himself to us. This is my body. I give it fully to you. That sounds like in a wedding. I take you as my lawful wife or husband. In good times and in bad, in sickness or in health, till death do us part. That's what Jesus Christ does in the Eucharist. He hands Himself fully to us. So that whenever we receive the Eucharist, We are renewing that covenant of love, that marital covenant with Jesus Christ. We are affirming our love for Him. And we are saying, we'll always be with you. We accept you. We're inviting you to come into our lives. And today's first reading tells us, the person we are married to is our builder. He builds us up. Things around you might be falling apart. You might not be successful in whatever you're doing. Things are falling apart all around you. You might be trying a little bit too hard, and nothing is working out for you. But Jesus Christ, our spouse, is the builder. If we let Him into our lives, He is going to build us up. He will build us up. It is not so much what we know. It is not so much what we can do. Our own job is to just be open to Him and to invite Him to enter into our lives, and He will build us up. And when we invite Him into our lives and it begins to build us up, He's not going to let go until we are victorious, until our victory shines like a burning torch. That's what we celebrate tonight. And that's why we rejoice. Because Jesus Christ is entering into our lives. Jesus Christ is taking on this new role in our lives to build us up. We rejoice because today we have a new name. Today we have a new status. That is the greatest miracle of Christmas, that God comes into our world and God enters into our lives and God becomes one like us. It is very difficult for us to let Him take on this special role in our lives, because I understand some of us, including myself, we are control freaks. We want to control everything. But that's not going to work if we want Him to build us up. If we want Him to build us up, we must give up the control. And we must let Him lead our lives. We must let Him be the Savior of our lives. Today we celebrate the birthday of Emmanuel, God with us. That is a promise He made to the people of Israel many years ago. That promise is fulfilled in our own time. God has entered into our world. God has entered into our lives. And is part of our lives. If only we can let Him. What our ancestors had wished for, had hoped for, and they did not receive. We are so privileged to receive Him, Jesus Christ, our Savior. So tonight is a very special night. It's a special night not because the miracles that have been promised are completely fulfilled, but because we are beginning this journey in which those miracles will be fulfilled. It's a process. It's not magic. We have to be open to that promise, and we have to invite Him to be part of that journey. So I want to challenge you tonight and throughout the new year. I'm going to ask you to do two things in the new year. Make a commitment to do two things in the new year. One is, your spouse, the builder, wants to build you up. So you have to spend some time with your spouse, the builder, Jesus Christ. I'm not going to ask you to spend an hour with Him. I'm not going to ask you to spend 2 hours with Him every day. Just 5 minutes. I know some of you are working on your resolution for next year. So part of your resolution for the next year, 5 minutes every day with Jesus Christ, your spouse and your builder. 5 minutes. You don't need to have anything to say to him. Just sit down and listen to him. Because sometimes people say, well, I don't know what I'm going to say, what I'm going to do in prayer and all that. You don't. Just sit quietly and listen to him. 5 minutes every day in the next year. I guarantee you, you will see a difference in your life. The second challenge. Whenever you come to Mass, you are renewing that covenant of love with Jesus Christ, your spouse. So in the next year, make a commitment not to miss a Sunday Mass. I have forgotten when last I ever missed a Sunday Mass. I can't even remember. Sometimes we forget our spouse during vacations. Make a commitment that you will not forget your spouse. Every Sunday, you are going to renew that covenant of love with your spouse, Jesus Christ. And because I understand that many of us don't just want to do the basic minimum, we are very good Catholics. We love Jesus Christ. We love the church. I'm going to ask you to do a little bit more if that marriage with Jesus Christ is very special to you, just as it is special to him. I will ask you, make a commitment to at least one daily Mass in a week in the next year. You might think you are so busy that you can't make it. A daily Mass takes less than 30 minutes. I can assure you, try it the first month. If it's taking too much out of your schedule, I give you the permission to drop it. I can assure you that it will not. It will not. Make a commitment that in the next year, because I love this marriage with Jesus Christ, I am going to attend Mass, one daily Mass in a week. I know you, like myself, we want all these miracles of hope, love, joy, peace in our lives. But we have to be open to them. And let us make a commitment in the new year that we will be open to these miracles in our lives, that we will see this transformation in our lives. We rejoice because Jesus Christ, our Savior, is born. We rejoice because we are not a burden to him, but we are God's delight.